You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. Hope that you are having a wonderful day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we would like to take this opportunity to invite you out. I do have bad news. I hate to talk about bad news, but Sunday morning is daylight savings time where we spring forward an hour. And that means we get less sleep. We get 1 hour less sleep that night than we normally do. So this is me asking you to pray for me because I have trouble getting enough sleep on regular time frame. I'm not complaining that there will be an extra hour of daylight. That is not what I am saying. But that transition, it takes a little while. And I felt like they should always do that on Friday night to Saturday morning. But they never ask my opinion. So we are having church Sunday. We're having Sunday school. And we also have our annual business meeting on Sunday night. But it is daylight savings time. So you have been sufficiently warned, plan ahead, go to bed early, get a good night's rest, and show up in the house of God Sunday morning ready to praise Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we'd like to invite you out. Today we are going to be returning to Matthew chapter 15 and Matthew chapter 14. We were there, and I just read you Matthew 14:14. It said, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Now in chapter 15, we'll read in verse number 29. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way." Then his disciples said to him, "Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Seven and a few little fish." So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. And so we were talking on yesterday's program that the crowds that were following him, they followed him from when the woman from Tyre and Sidon region, a Canaanite woman, came and exercised her faith. Jesus delivered her daughter of the demon that was possessing her and tormenting her. Then there were others who followed him around the Sea of Galilee. They followed him up onto the mountain, and they not only followed him, they brought their needy with them. A lot of times people think that if they have needs in their life, that they shouldn't come to God until those needs are met. And I want to tell you that we come to God because without Him, we're hopeless. We're helpless. We are needy all of the time. There will never get a stage in our life that we do not need Jesus. It's kind of ironic that in a world where we are trying to raise up individuals to the point where they are able to function independently of our help, that our relationship with God is exactly the opposite. We pretend that we can function without Him, and then when the mess gets so bad, hopefully you come to the realization before the mess gets too bad, that we cannot do anything independently of God's help. Without Him, we have the ability to do nothing. And so these people came, some of them came because they had problems from birth. Some of them had health conditions that had become chronic conditions. Some of them may have had situations that developed that their body just deteriorated, so they lost their sight or they lost their hearing. Some of them may have been injured. Some of them were injured physically. Some may be listening and you've been injured intellectually. Some may be listening and you've been injured emotionally. I just want you to know today that Jesus is moved with compassion to bring healing that is visibly verified. So let me talk for just a minute about some wounds that people may inflict with their words, and I want to help to set you free with that, because I've had people speak words over me that were quite traumatizing. But I don't function under the sovereignty of those words. I don't recognize their authority in my life. I recognize the authority of God's word. I also don't use those words as motivation, as if I'm going to get revenge on them by showing how much I can succeed or anything like that. That's not the case at all. Those words should be powerless. They shouldn't be motivating me or unmotivating me. They should literally be rendered powerless. And so I have a friend that I grew up with, and when he went to school, I don't remember if this was kindergarten or first grade, but he had a teacher that wrote that he showed no scholastic aptitude whatsoever, that there was no academic possibility that this teacher could see in this friend of mine. What the teacher didn't take into consideration wasn't that he didn't have any scholastic aptitude, but that his scholastic aptitude had already developed beyond what that class was teaching. And so the reason he was not interacting was because he was not being challenged. He was bored. And in actuality, he went on and had a full career in academia. Once he got into college, he never had a career outside of that. He went on and graduated high school, graduated college, got a master's degree, got his doctorate, and was a professor in a very well-known university. And so he would keep that message, because what that teacher spoke over him as a, you know, that would be now 6 to 7 decades ago, not quite 7 decades ago, but it still resonated with him. And I know, I mean, you've heard me talk about the person said that I was worthless and never amount to anything in the ministry, but I don't seek revenge on that person by saying I'm going to excel because he didn't believe in me. I want to excel because God does believe in me. And so allow God to heal you of those things and do it in such a way that it brings transformation. And the transformation should result in this. They glorified the God of Israel. Whatever God does in our life is so that God will be glorified, that we will worship him, that others will see and worship him. In fact, I didn't highlight this at the time, but up in Matthew 15:25, when the woman whose daughter was severely demon-possessed, it says in verse number 25, she came and worshiped him. It means she positioned herself in a state of humility at his feet, asking him as Lord to help her. And we, when we see God do supernatural things, glorious things, we should be intentional about giving him the praise and the glory and the honor. Don't stop with the miracle. Make sure that the miracle leads to worship. It leads to celebration. Our society right now is fascinated with Christian gatherings that are happening in unfamiliar places, and they're something that they're focusing on because it involves a large group of people. I want to remind you, and in fact, we will talk about this in some programs next week, that Jesus focuses on the one. So revival doesn't happen with mass multitudes. It begins with one person. I believe that this woman who came to seek Jesus' help in seeing her daughter delivered from this demon possession, I believe she was the catalyst that led to all of these other people following and say, if he could do something in her life, he can do something in our life. And then there were a lot of people that saw miracles just because someone stepped out in faith. So make sure that we glorify God and celebrate the things that he's done. Now in verse number 32, with all of that taking place, Jesus turns to his disciples and he calls them to himself. I want to remind you that disciples are called to be with Jesus. We are called to be with him before we are ever called to do something for him. The foundation of our life should be our relationship with Jesus. And the disciples followed him longer than others. I want you to notice that Jesus is going to say here in verse number 32, they have now continued with me 3 days. For some of you, it might be 3 minutes. For some of you, you might have been following Jesus for 3 days. You might have been following him for 3 years or 3 decades or 30 years or 60 years. You might have been following him all your life. I guarantee you that the invitation is the same, that all of his disciples should come to him. Now, when the disciples come to him, they don't realize that Jesus is preparing them for life after he returns to the Father. And for us, God is doing something in our life that he is preparing us for what we're going to face now, but he's also preparing us for what we are going to deal with in the future. And as he calls his disciples to himself, he opens up his heart to them and says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days. Praise God. God has not grown bored with us. He's still moved with compassion for us. And he knows what we're facing. So he knew what they had sacrificed. He knew what God could do. And he knew what the people were going to be facing in the days ahead. And it caused him to have compassion on them. And he said, I realize that they do not have anything to eat. There were no or very limited natural resources available. I want you to understand that God is not limited by a natural deficiency in resources. After all, he formed humanity out of the dust of the earth. It was just lifeless. And God said, I'm going to do something with that is going to be not just good, it's going to be very good. And so you might not think that you have what it takes to face a giant, but God says, I've given you a specific skill set, and I don't believe that David was that great a marksman. I believe that the Holy Spirit guided that stone to exactly where it needed to be, the same way that I don't believe that Samson looked like the most muscle-bound individual. I believe that, you know, that hinders the understanding of what the Holy Spirit was doing in Samson's life. So if you have an insufficiency, I want you to understand that God has compassion on you. He doesn't want you leaving for the assignment that he has for you without having been filled up. I pray that we minister out of the overflow of our relationship, not out of a relational deficit. So he says to them, I do not want to send them away hungry. So if you go back to Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. So there is a good thing that is about hunger, and that is that it drives you. It's a driving force. And there should be a hunger for more than food. It should be a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. But we have to have food to eat. It's a reality. So I joke that it's my parents' fault because they got me addicted to food as a child, and I've required food almost every day since. God created us. Now here's the thing. The more frequently we eat, the more it creates a hunger in us. If you go on a fast, if you go for a certain length of time, you will eventually find that you're not hungry. For some of us, that's hard to imagine, but it really is the case. And God doesn't want us to be weak physically. He wants to provide for us, and he's getting ready to demonstrate that he can multiply the loaves and the fishes to meet the hunger need of several thousand individuals. He said, I don't want them to go on their journey hungry because I don't want them fainting. God wants to make sure that we have the strength and the resources. He is moved with compassion to make sure that we not only start the journey, but that we complete the journey. And so if you have been feeling weary, come to Jesus. Make sure that you feast on his word. Like I said at the beginning of this program, it was not just the act that Jesus was wanting to accomplish. He wasn't just coming to make sick people well. He was coming to bring glory to the Father, that God would be worshiped. And in the lives of disciples, he is wanting us to function not from a position of weariness, but strengthened by his omnipotence. So he says, I don't want to send them on their way. I don't want them fainting on their way back home. And his disciples said to him, this is verse number 33, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? I heard someone say, I didn't hear them personally say it, I've heard the recording of people saying, why do we even need farms anymore? We have grocery stores. We are blessed to live in America where there's food that's available everywhere. Now, it's expensive. You know, the price of food has definitely gone up in the past 5 or 6 years, quite a bit. But at least we have grocery stores. There's food banks. There are food ministries. There are all sorts of ways that we can find food. And with my daughter and son-in-law and their family living with us, we have seen food prepared ways like with spices that we never knew about and things like that. 'Cause I'll be honest with you, I don't live to eat. I eat to live. Now, if there's a special occasion and we want to go out to eat and have one of those meals where my taste buds are doing the happy dance, we can do that. But that's not my regular. One of the things that really kind of causes me curiosity, I guess, is these cooking shows where people are going there to have their cooking nitpicked by these people who are looking to make their taste buds dance just because they want their taste buds to dance. And so on some of them, I've seen one person say, well, you had too much salt, and the next person say, well, there wasn't enough salt on it for me. And it's like, you know, y'all, they really don't understand what it was like to live in biblical times where you didn't just go to your cupboard and voila, there's a month's worth of groceries in there. They went meal to meal or day to day much of the time. And so the disciples realized, look, there's not a Publix around here. There's not an Aldi. There's not a grocery store of any kind. There's not a fast food restaurant, not a convenience store. Where are we going to get enough food to feed the people? And Jesus said, well, what do you have? How much do you have? And their answer was 7 loaves and a few little fish. Now, you can recognize the parallels of the feeding of the 4,000 with the feeding of the 5,000. The amount that they start with is smaller for the feeding of the 5,000. They've got a few more loaves and fish here for feeding of the 4,000. There are different amounts left over. So there were 12 baskets After the first feeding, there are seven large baskets full of the fragments that are left here. God had a reason for doing everything he did. In fact, the disciples, in the next chapter, they're thinking that Jesus is teaching them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and it's because they haven't brought any bread. They still hadn't learned that God is sovereign over the supply. He's sovereign over the multiplication of it. He is the God who meets needs. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, but he's the God who provides himself. And so they bring to Jesus the things that they had. I'm going to see if I can finish this chapter up today. They give it to him. He takes it. He gives thanks. He broke it. He gave them to his disciples. The disciples gave to the multitude. They all ate. They were all filled. All of this because Jesus had compassion on the multitude. And it says, now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Jesus knew that they were getting ready to, there was getting ready to be a transition. They were not going to be out there on the mountaintop. They needed to get back to where God had strategically placed them to thrive in their relationship with God. They needed to go back there. And he had compassion on them. He said, I don't want them fainting. I don't know where you are on Friday. I don't know what you're facing. You may have been on a long journey. You may be looking around and say, I don't have the natural resources that I need to complete the journey. And I want to encourage you to look to Jesus today. He's not looking down in condemnation. Instead, he is very present. He is looking on your situation, and he wants to take care of the need because he has compassion on you. He wants us to finish well. He wants to minister in your region and in my region with compassion, because those people that were all there, the lame were going to walk home. The maimed were going to go return whole. The blind were going to return seeing. Those who were sick and infirm, they were going back healthy and whole, because God is healthy and whole. And I pray today that God's compassion will provide supernatural resource, supernatural strength, so that you can successfully live for his glory and his praise. May God be glorified in our midst this weekend. See you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Wayland.com. Wayland Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate